Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody tell me!
Welcome to Simple Facts of Life Radio, where you can consider us here to be sort of like your home alarm system. We keep watch and we sound the alarm when someone tries to break in and steal your personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am your host, the Chief, coming to you from a resplendently beautiful day in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. Yeah, Portland is kind of has a reputation for being rainy, and you know what? This year, it has been rainy like every day. But this is like, I don't know, the second or third day all year where I've seen not a cloud in the sky or have yet to see a raindrop fall. So there it is. If you'd like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Now, what's going on? I've been talking pretty much quite a bit for the last few weeks about how the Democrats are in a full panic because, well, Bernie Sanders has become the front runner in the nomination process. And the Democratic establishment knows that Americans do not like socialism, at least most Americans. They simply just won't vote for a socialist, someone who actually calls themselves a socialist. And Bernie Sanders, well, say whatever you want about him. He's at least been consistent. He professes, I don't know what he believes, but what he says has been pretty consistent for as long as anyone has known who Bernie Sanders is. So, the Democrats have a problem. Some people on the left, I've noticed, are solving the problem one way. They are trying to normalize socialism. I read, I don't know, a day or two ago, my favorite, canary in the coal mine on the left, Mr. Blue Checkmark guy on Facebook, well-known journalist that I remember from decades ago that I knew. And he put out something on his Facebook page that it's like he posted a link to a blog, you know, like all my conservative friends should read this and that will, you know, end all your questions because, seeing that, I, of course, had to read it, and I found out this was by some, Ann Landman or somebody like that, and she made what, you know, my blue checkmark guy says was like the end-all, be-all of it. She made the argument that, well, Americans actually love socialism because we've had it for a long time. And I don't want to go down the whole laundry list of examples of socialism are. But, you know, it was things like, well, we have police departments and we have garbage collection and, well, roads and schools and all those things. And that's somehow supposed to prove that we are a socialist country already because we have those things. Well, the simple fact of life as I see it is that this person who wrote this does not understand the difference between socialism and society. We as a society do things, and that, you know, to make it work, to make our society work, but that's not what socialism really is. You see, I did notice down toward the end of this not too long blog, the blogger actually got it exactly right. We have a government because the government can do what people can't do for themselves individually to improve our quality of life and assure our safety. That's like a quote from the blog. The next sentence is, that's socialism. And there's clearly a large component in it in our society already. Well, she got that right. Well, the first part of it right, because government should do what people can't do for themselves, what they shouldn't be expected to do for themselves. We can't build a road. You know, nobody... very few people have the means to afford to buy every book they might want to read. So, libraries, good deal, parks, all. But people can and should be expected to feed themselves, provide housing, even education. I find it interesting because, you see, both me and Blue Checkmark Guy, we grew up attending private schools. Our parents didn't want to put us in the public system, so we went to private schools. That's where I met the guy. Public education? No. I mean, we see what's going on with that. So, but the left is using these tired arguments to say we are, they want to normalize socialism. Well, okay, here's the way I see it. I think the Democratic establishment, they don't want to admit that, this, but they believe that if it comes down to it, they believe that Bernie Sanders, should he be the nominee, will get thoroughly crushed by Donald Trump. So, they are looking for a savior, somebody to save them from Bernie Sanders, which needs to be done in order to save them from four more years of Trump. So, what do we got here? Well, we thought Joe Biden would work, even Elizabeth Warren, but you see what's happened to them. They're both pretty much done. Bernie has killed them. So, we need, can't have Bernie. Need somebody else. Oh. In rides, I don't know, Michael Bloomberg. Boy, the Democrats are going to have a whole lot of trouble selling him to their base. The Bernie bros are not going to go for any, they're not going to go for Bloomberg, because let's face it, Bernie has been saying his small donations, get the big corporate money out of politics. Michael Bloomberg is walking, talking big corporate money. Like I said, this is a guy who buys and sells people like Donald Trump out of his pocket change. I mean, if the Bernie bros don't want a rich guy to be president, you know, well, Trump's going to be the poorer of the two candidates if he gets to be the nominee. So, and of course, don't forget, Michael Bloomberg, when he ran for mayor of New York, ran as a Republican. Now, the attacks on Bloomberg are coming on a whole lot of fronts, from all sides. The, you know, the leftists are just, they're attacking the money, and the people on the right are attacking him in all kinds of ways. I love what we've been hearing over just the last few days. See, Bloomberg is just totally out of touch with the common folks. So, yeah, I can teach anybody to be a farmer. You just dig a hole and put a seed in it. That's all there is to it. I ain't no farmer, but I know there's a whole lot more to it than that. I mean, you know, you can get degrees in agriculture. I mean, it's a complicated thing. Bloomberg is now being attacked also for always misogynist statements, racist stop and frisk policies, which he didn't start, but he did continue. The people on the left they're trying to go after Bloomberg because they see him as a threat to Bernie, and to a lot of these people, they don't see him as that much different from Trump. And if he gets the nomination, I don't know what the Bernie bros are going to do. I just cannot see them voting for Bloomberg. So, let's just move away from little Mikey for a while and talk about the other new and improved savior we have coming up. And I'm talking about Pete Buttigieg, because he's sort of a co-front runner with Bernie Sanders. By some metrics, he won the Iowa caucus, although Bernie got more votes. Yeah, there seems like the Democrats are still playing games with Bernie. He came in a relatively solid second in New Hampshire, I guess. So, he can do okay with the Democrats. Although, strangely enough, you see, I don't see Mayor Pete as a moderate in any way, shape, or form. You know, being, you know, 6 inches to the right of Bernie Sanders does not make you a moderate. But I just read that he's even having some problems with the LGBTQ community because so many of them are so far left that Mayor Pete isn't radical enough. I think the Democrats, they're scared of Bernie. They're trying to find some middle ground here. You know, someone who's only moderately communist. Did I read a couple days ago that Mayor Pete's father was a well-known Marxist college professor? Okay. But besides all that, Mayor Pete has a whole lot of problems if he wants to be president. Number one, his age. I mean, the guy's only like 38 years old. That would make him the youngest president we've ever had, even as the rest of the field is like the oldest candidates we've ever had, except he would be the youngest president that was ever elected so far was John Kennedy, who was 43. The youngest person who's ever been president was Theodore Roosevelt, who succeeded to the presidency when he was 42. But, yeah, that's a problem, just experience and his managerial political experience. I mean, what's he got going? He was the mayor of a mid-sized city. I can't think of anybody with that little experience ever being nominated. I mean, you got to be at least a senator or a governor or a general or somebody. I don't know. But then in the room here, so I'm going to drop a little truth bomb on you about Mayor Pete and his problems in being the nominee. And when I say I'm dropping a truth bomb, this isn't one of those little surgical strike type truth bombs. I'm going to go full Hiroshima on you here. Pete, the dude is gay. He's openly gay. You don't think that's going to be a problem in the general election? Might get by in the Democratic Party, but I'll give you my thoughts on the subject of a gay presidential candidate. Now, number one, I've heard about the guy. I knew he was gay. Okay. I really hadn't seen him. I hadn't really heard him speak or do much about him other than what I'd read until after the Iowa caucus. I happened to catch him on TV being interviewed. I never saw before that how he presented himself, and what I saw was, he struck me as like a character from a 1980s movie, you know, the guy who's the gay guy, he's kind of wants to stay in the closet, but everybody knows. That's how he came across. Just, the dude is a swish. Now, you know, is that a really big deal? I don't know. How will he be perceived? You got to consider, how will he be perceived? I mean, will Vladimir Putin be scared of Mayor Pete? Will he really have the gravitas when they meet? I don't know. I don't care. I mean, if somebody is like, I have some personal experience because I had this uncle. I mean, he was a Hollywood type, nominated for an Academy Award. He wasn't an actor. He was an interior decorator who did a lot of work as a set decorator. I don't remember what he was nominated for. I think it was The Exorcist. I know he did the interior set decoration for The Exorcist. But, I knew him since I was a little kid and didn't think much of it. I knew he was never married. But as I grew older and got a little more wise in the ways of the world, it's like, wow, this guy's picture could be on a $3 bill. He was like an older version of Mayor Pete, you know what I mean? So, but I mean, hey, no big deal. He was my uncle, and I had no problems with it. In fact, after he died, I really gained a whole new respect for him because since he was never married, he had no heirs and died without a will. I got 1/24 of his estate just because he had 8 brothers and sisters, but my mother had predeceased him, so I got one third of her share. So I, you know, it wasn't a ton of money, but it was five digits, you know, not bad. But okay, back to my thoughts on, would I vote for a gay guy ever? Well, it's not a deal breaker for me. I mean, I'll look at policies. I would vote for a gay person with solid conservative principles, a fiscal conservative, a, you know, limited government conservative. I'd vote for that guy way over, say, a Bernie Sanders. It's not a deal breaker. Because, you know, I don't know, you know, if somebody's gay, you know, hey, who you're attracted to, what you think, you can't control your thoughts. But, okay. Now, if someone were bisexual, that's a little bit harder for me. I might mention before, here in Oregon, our governor, Kate Brown, is openly bisexual. That's more of a problem simply because if you're bisexual, kind of by definition, you are not able to be in a committed, monogamous relationship. It means you're a little bit out there. Now, if you're trans, for me, that's a deal breaker. I will never vote for any trans person because I don't want a delusional person in charge. But, okay, if someone's gay, is that a deal breaker for me? No. But it is a tiebreaker. I mean, consider if you have two candidates, say Mayor Pete was, you know, even though he kind of looks like a Mr. Bean, Alfred E. Newman, swishy guy, let's say his policies were very similar to President Trump's. You know, maybe even I might agree with, say, Mayor Pete a little bit more. This is not the case. This is strictly hypothetical. But just say that. So I often point out, simple fact of life number one, what is in my personal self-interest? If it's not the policies they put out or how I think they would have the ability to manage the government, it's a huge, complicated job. But I break it down to just this. I like to watch the news periodically, check out what's on TV, you know, see the president. Do I want to look at somebody, say I'm watching the State of the Union, when they take a shot up into the gallery, do I want to look at a stunningly beautiful first lady? Or do I want to look at a goofy-looking first butt buddy? Yeah. As obvious as the answer seems to be, no, that's not a trick question. It is a tiebreaker. I think for a lot of people, it's probably more than that. I don't think that Mayor Pete's numbers are actually as good as the polling would indicate, because I think we may be seeing a case of political correctness, what's become known as the Bradley effect. And this comes down to it, if you're not familiar with it, I guess most people are, but in 1982, the California governor election was between Tom Bradley, who was the mayor of Los Angeles, black guy, and, you know, I lived in the city of Los Angeles. You know, he was a good mayor. I had no problem with him. Kind of a little liberal. I doubt if I would have voted for him, but you know, for the things the mayor does, he did a good job. Even my mother said he was a good mayor, and she was, I won't say a racist, but not politically correct in those things. But she thought he was a good mayor. She told me that. And the polls had him comfortably ahead in going into the election. He lost. And most people believe that the reason was because nobody wanted to say they were going to vote against him because they didn't want to be perceived as racist. I think Mayor Pete has the same problem. I don't think that people want to say that they will vote against him. Now, interestingly, he did better, you know, maybe, you know, geographical and whatnot, but he did better in Iowa than he did in New Hampshire. I know we'll have to see moving forward, but I remember in 2008, the contest was between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Excuse me. Hillary won virtually all of the primary states, but she didn't get the nomination because Obama won virtually all of the caucus states. And I often wondered, did he win because in a caucus where you have to show up and make your, you know, take a stand, not in private, but in public, you know, people come up and say, "Hey, Joe, glad to see you here. Bet you're going to vote for Obama because I know you're not a racist. Bet you're going to vote for Pete because I know you're not a homophobe." And if people vote the other way, they're worried about it. People won't say things to pollsters because they don't want to talk about it. Same as happened in 2016. Nobody believed Trump could win because the narrative was that Trump was evil, and if you voted for Trump, you were evil. Well, people don't want to tell the pollster, "Hey, I'm evil." So they'll just say whatever they think the pollster wants to hear. And that's the essence of the Bradley effect. People will tell pollsters what they think is more politically correct, what the pollster wants to hear. But when it comes down to the actual going to vote, maybe not the same. So I believe that that effect is in play here, and should Mayor Pete become the nominee, I think he gets crushed, at least as bad as Bernie Sanders gets crushed. And I am down to my last few seconds. Want to say hi. This Vorpal Bite came and went pretty quickly, but Tim Tapp has been here in the chat room, and he will be coming up in 30 minutes from right now. So Tap into the Truth. Listen there, and I am out of here.
Sailing out on the sea, make a sailor so long.